Little Steven's Underground Garage is next after a world news update on VOA Music Mix.
Gaza ceasefire takes effect, and U.S. general says Russia likely reluctant participant in Ukraine. I'm Bill Michaels reporting from Washington. Palestinian militants clash with the Israeli military just before a 12-hour ceasefire went into effect in Gaza earlier this morning. A Hamas official said the militant group would observe the break in hostilities. Israel said its security forces would continue searching during the lull for tunnels used by Palestinian militants. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said Friday the ceasefire is in honor of Eid, the Muslim holiday marking the end of Ramadan. Kerry is in Paris today to continue his efforts toward a permanent ceasefire. He says the whole world is wondering when both sides will come to their senses. The top U.S. military officer says he thinks Russia is a reluctant participant in Ukraine's conflict. General Martin Dempsey, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, says he believes the Russian military and its leaders are probably somewhat reluctant participants in the form of warfare being used in Ukraine. Dempsey's comments come as the U.S. has accused Russia of an imminent transfer of Russian arms to Ukrainian separatists. The U.S. has also accused Russia of continuing to fire artillery across the border into Ukraine, but the U.S. says it has seen no indications that Ukraine has fired into Russia. Officials say all 118 passengers and crew are believed to have been killed when Air Algeria flight AH-5017 crash-landed in Mali on Thursday on its way from Burkina Faso to Algeria. The investigation is ongoing, but the crash is believed to have been weather-related. Jennifer Lizzuto has more from our West Africa Bureau in Dakar.
Search teams have begun combing through the wreckage of Air Algeria flight AH-5017, which was found Thursday evening in the desert near the Malian town of Gossi, not far from the border of Burkina Faso. Rescuers say there are no signs of survivors, but they have recovered at least one of the plane's black boxes. The plane, which left Ouagadougou shortly after 1 o'clock GMT on Thursday, disappeared from radar about an hour later, after the pilots requested a change in course due to bad weather. Spanish airline Swift Air, which owned the Boeing MD-83 plane, said there were 110 passengers and 6 crew members on board. Almost half the passengers were French, and most passengers were in transit to Europe, the Middle East, and Canada. Jennifer Lazuda for VOA News, Dakar.
Nigerian officials say a man who died Friday tested positive for the dreaded Ebola virus. Nigeria becomes the fourth West African country to confirm the presence of Ebola, which has killed hundreds of people this year in Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia. Nigeria's health minister said the 40-year-old man became sick after arriving on a flight from Monrovia, Liberia, on Tuesday. He said the patient was quickly isolated after displaying Ebola-like symptoms. The minister said blood samples sent to various laboratories confirmed the patient had the virus. President Barack Obama went with leaders of 3 Central American nations Friday to ask for their help in stemming the flow of thousands of unaccompanied minors to the southern U.S. border. VOA White House correspondent Luis Ramirez reports.
President Obama told the leaders of El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras it is not a lack of compassion, but an obligation to obey immigration laws that is prompting the U.S. to turn back many of those coming to this country's borders. The U.S. president asked the leaders to do their part.
All of us recognize that we have a shared responsibility to address this problem.
Under U.S. law, those who come and seek asylum are given due process, meaning the courts decide whether they can stay or not. The migrants make the dangerous journey across Mexico in the belief that they will get residency permits, a hope that is encouraged by human smugglers. Luis Ramirez, VOA News, at the White House.
The head of a United Nations panel on Syria is calling for a worldwide arms embargo on the war-torn country. Brazilian diplomat Paulo Sergio Pinheiro told UN Radio Friday that the arms race must stop and members must stop sending weapons.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
In Spanish, we say, la mejor variedad del mundo, VOA Music Mix.
Everybody says, the world's best variety, VOA Music Mix.
Come to the land of living dreams, where realists dream of the unreal. Beatniks at their bawdiest. The creative urge at its most primitive.
For those of you with heart conditions, or who are with young and impressionable children, we ask that you turn around in your seats.
Alive! It's alive! It's...
Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Underground Garage.
Underground Garage.
Underground Garage.
Underground Garage.
Now they will know why they are afraid of the dark. Now they will learn why they fear the night.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission.
I want counterculture. I want anti-establishment.
This is mass madness, you maniacs! You maniacs! You maniacs!
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Festival was sacred ground in the folk music world. 1965 was going to be a little unusual because they were allowing the Paul Butterfield Blues Band to perform, and although there had been electric acts in the past, it was unusual and, you know, not that cool. Promoter George Wein and Albert Grossman, manager of Bob Dylan and the Paul Butterfield Blues Band, had started the thing in 1959. There was already an institution. But there was just something different in the air in this particular year, evidenced by the very peaceful Albert Grossman and the esteemed musicologist Alan Lomax ending up in a fist fight, brawling on the ground after Alan's introduction of the Paul Butterfield Blues Band, suggesting that white kids can't play the blues. Albert didn't like that. So, you know, a little bit different vibe going on. By 1965, Bob Dylan was the most revered songwriter in the world. And just as the folk music establishment started getting used to his social commentary, topical songs, as they were called, like
Masters of War, Hard Rain's Gonna Fall, With God on Our Side. Dylan had moved to a more personal beat poetry style, you know, metaphor, symbolism, with Gates of Eden and Mr. Tambourine Man. So the establishment was trying to catch up to that, and now here's Bob moving on again. He'd been watching the Beatles and Stones, had encouraged the Byrds to record his Mr. Tambourine Man, which was an idea their manager Jim Dixon had, and that turned into a big hit. So Bob, having just released like a Rolling Stone, like, you know, the week before, whatever, wants to play electric guitar with a band the final night of the festival. This will become the Rashomon of rock and roll history. Everybody there having a different recollection as to what happened. Bob would use Mike Bloomfield, Sammy Lay, and Jerome Arnold from the Butterfield Band, added Al Kooper and Barry Goldberg, and they learned three songs the night before the show. So for the first time since his high school band, the Golden Chords, Bob walks on stage with a Stratocaster, wearing a polka dot shirt, and plays Maggie's Farm, Like a Rolling Stone, and Phantom Engineer, later to be called It Takes a Lot to Laugh, Takes a Train to Cry. Now here's where the stories all are different. Some say the crowd booed throughout. Some say they didn't. Some say the crowd was upset because the folkies, the electric guitar represented pop music. Some say they booed because to the socialists in the audience, of which there were many, the electric guitar represented capitalism. Some say they booed because Mike Bloomfield's guitar was too loud. And Al Kooper says they booed because Bob was the headliner and they only did three songs. So they come off stage and Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary says, "You gotta go back in," and hands him an acoustic guitar. So Bob does Mr. Tambourine Man, calms everybody down, and then very appropriately, "It's All Over Now, Baby Blue."
Yeah. papers to say she's 54. I ain't gonna work for Maggie's Ma no more.
Well, my father told me, son, you had better get a gun. Well, my first friend went down when I was 17 years old. Well, my first friend went down when I was 17 years old. Well, there's one thing I can say about that boy, he died alone. Someone left to play the game. All my friends are going, and things just don't seem the same. Oh, things just don't seem the same, babe.
As if nothing happened. I say I'm holding an auction at Coconut Manor, and when the crowd gathers around, I want you to mingle with them. Don't pick their pockets, just mingle with them.
I'll find time for both.
You know.
Excitement of Helen and several beers have taken effect. Inhibition and caution are forgotten. When Helen suggests they have a few more beers, he's all for it. Why not? Everyone else is doing it. To refuse would be square, and that must be avoided at all costs.
Everybody's lying in the Everybody's lying in the sun.
Hi, this is Roger McGuinn from The Byrds, and you're with Little Steven in the Underground Garage, a very cool place to be.
Started the show with the Blues Magoos, one of the regulars down in Greenwich Village in the 60s, at the Night Owl, Pepe Castro and the gang. Maggie's Farm was Bob Dylan from Bringing It All Back Home, the album where he went electric, at least half electric, 65. Tom Wilson producing. Paul Butterfield Blues Band would be a lot of the guys Bob would use at Newport. Born in Chicago, the Butterfield theme song, if you will. written by Nicky the Greek Ravenites, who would later be the lead singer in Electric Flag. Can You Please Crawl Out Your Window was Wilco Johnson and Roger Daltrey. The album is Going Back Home. Wilco from Dr. Feelgood, Roger, of course, from The Who, who are my favorite Bob Dylan song of all time. The only song Bob did with the Hawks. All the Hawks. It's on Universal, so I guess you can get it the normal way. People get records, if people still get records. Barefoot in the Car Park was Groovy Uncle with Susie Chunk out of Cardiff, Wales, with what has to be the analog record of the year. That thing sounds like it never went anywhere near anything digital. And we love that. Of course, it also has to be cool in order to qualify as the coolest song in the world, which it was. And the Byrds version of It's All Over Now, Baby Blue, the song Bob came back out with after being booed off the stage, supposedly, most likely, for various reasons. Terry Melcher producing that. It's going to be their third single, but wasn't. And McGuinn would do a slower version on Ballad of Easy Rider. We are celebrating the anniversary of Like a Rolling Stone, which by my calculation was the beginning of the rock era. We'll be talking about that right after this break.
You must leave now, take what you need, you think will last. But whatever you wish to keep, you better grab it fast. He understands your orphan with his gun, crying like a fire in the sun. Look out, the saints are coming through, and it's all over now, baby blue.
Our mission statement.
Play the world's best variety.
VOA Music Mix.
Al Cooper is the legendary cat that played guitar with the Royal Teens after their novelty hit Short Shorts. Was a member of the very important blues project. Started Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Wrote This Diamond Ring for the Drifters, who didn't like it, so it ended up as a number one hit for Gary Lewis and the Playboys. Played on Rolling Stones records, Jimi Hendrix, The Who, Moby Grape, produced Leonard Skinner. But here's the best Al Cooper story. In 1965, he gets friendly with a Columbia staff producer named Tom Wilson, who invites him to watch a Bob Dylan session. It took a couple of albums for Al to get into Bob, but by 65... Dylan had five albums out, and everybody in the business knew he had completely taken over the folk world. But he had started doing some electric things on his fourth album, and even more on his fifth, so Al was determined to somehow play guitar on this session, and not just watch. June 16th, 1965, he gets there early, and as he's setting up, the real professional session guys come in, Paul Griffin, the great keyboard player, drummer Bobby Gregg, guitarist and soon to be the infamous player of a giant Turkish tambourine, Bruce Langhorne, and Joe Macho Jr. on bass. So Al's there trying to blend in and hoping nobody notices he's not supposed to be there, practicing the seven licks or so he knows, to quote his recollection. Suddenly Bob Dylan explodes through the door with a weird-looking guy carrying a Telecaster with no case. And it's raining out. He wipes it off with a towel and starts warming up. Al quietly packs up his guitar and slips into the control room before anybody can see him, because Mike Bloomfield could be a little intimidating in those days. He was already the star of the Paul Butterfield Blues Band, having mastered the styles of Scotty Moore, Cliff Gallup, James Burton, B.B. Albert, and Freddie King, and was working on Buddy Guy. So Dylan starts going through the song, and he moves Paul Griffin from organ to piano, and immediately Al tells producer Tom Wilson, "I got an idea for an organ part," which he actually didn't have, and by the way, could barely play keyboards. You look up chutzpah in a dictionary, is a picture of Al. "You're not an organ player, Al," says Tom, ending the conversation, and then gets busy doing something, during which Al sneaks back out to the studio and sits down at the organ. Now, as destiny would have it, Paul Griffin left the organ on, which is tricky with a Hammond B3, or history would have been different, because Al didn't know how to turn the organ on. He could barely hear himself, so if you notice on the record, he's never on the first beat of the measure, so he could make sure he was playing the right chords. And out of nowhere, thank you, God, he managed to come up with a riff for the chorus. So I think it was the fourth take. They finally get all the way through it. And once they get through a song in Bob Dylan land, you're done. So now they're in the control room, and on the playback, Bob says, "I can't hear the organ. Turn it up." Tom Wilson says, "No, Bob, the kid's not an organ player." Bob says, "I didn't ask you who was an organ player and who wasn't. I said, turn it up." Up it goes, and there, in all of its glory, is the most famous organ riff in the world. Okay, it's that or Stevie Winwood's Give Me Some Lovin'. But it was certainly the organ riff that would change the world, played by a guy who described the experience like a child stumbling in the dark for a light switch.
Once upon a time, you dressed so fine, threw the bumps of dime in your prime. Then you, people call, say, "Beware, doll, you're bound to fall." You thought they were all kidding you. Bye.
Let other people get your kicks for you. You used to ride on a chrome horse with your diplomat, who carried on his shoulder a Siamese cat. Ain't it hard when you discover that?
Show with the times, they are a-changing. They certainly are. This, swears my 17-year-old son, is what the kids who used to scream at the Beatles now go for. And if Dylan is a trend, not just a cult, parents need not be quite so condescending. His tour opening at the 2,700-seat hall was a sellout, but without one single scream and with every rapt attention to every word, it was very impressive. Dylan, alone with his guitar and mouth organ for an hour and a half, earned himself more than £2,000 and a foot-stamping ovation. That's all.
Change the rain cloud into flowers, and I can I know nothing else, I know at least one thing is true. That the sacred is in the ordinary, the common things in life. They tell you that everything is nonsense, that the laws of nature are nonsense. Gravity is nonsense. Relationships don't exist. Jobs don't exist. Everything is up for grabs and there's no cause of anything. That's what they'd like you to believe. I guess you could say that I was pushed downhill, but my fall from grace didn't end at the bottom of those stairs. It went on, and it seemed to go on forever. Expect the worst and you'll get it. That's about all he ever taught me. All of us in some way are trying to kill time. When it's all said and done, time ends up killing us.
This is Al Cooper, and you are with Little Steven in the Underground Garage, where the music is a lot better than in the Overground Garage.
Will I ride on a bell train? Can't find me no thrill. Well, I've been up all night. Well, if I die on top of the hill, if I don't make it, you know my baby will. Hit it. Don't the moon look good, mama, going down over the trees? Don't the brakeman look good, mama, flagging down the double E? Don't the sun look good, going down over the sea? Oh,
are all filled up with frost. I tried to tell everybody, but I could not get across. Well, I wanna be your lover, baby. I don't wanna be your boss. Don't say I didn't warn you when your train gets lost. Na 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 na, yeah.
Started with Like a Rolling Stone, an amazing record at the time. Last thing Tom Wilson would do with Bob, I think, at least for a while. We'll check that. Bobby Gregg playing that opening drum shot, heard around the world. Paul Griffin moved from organ to piano, luckily for Al Kooper and lucky for us. Joe Macho on bass. The Blues Project featuring Al Kooper, also produced by Tom Wilson and Jerry Schoenbaum. Al wrote No Time Like the Right Time, classic little psychedelic single there. Amazing Danny Kalb lead guitar. The Connection with First Time, B-side of their latest single, Don't Talk to My Baby. We always like to flip that record over, usually find some cool things, and we did it again. Honest John Plain, the writer, well, the original version done by the Boys, 77. Brad Marino and Jeff Palmer producing. Get it from theconnectionofficial.com. And back to Al Kooper one last time. I know we started off celebrating Bob Dylan, but somehow turned into an Al Kooper tribute. That's okay. Well, Bob has his own show. Anyway, it's one of Bob's songs. It takes a lot to laugh, takes a train to cry, from Super Sessions. Al did some songs with Mike Bloomfield, did some songs with Steve Stills. That's a Steve Stills one. Steve, of course, from Buffalo Springfield, back then in 68, and about to be part of Crosby, Stills, Nash, and then Young. And we'll be back with one of the top five craziest record producers in history. Start naming them.
Radio continues to evolve.
And you're part of it.
VOA Music Mix.
Kim Fowley is the only guy in the world that makes Al Kooper look lazy. Al Kooper wrote a very cool autobiography called Backstage Passes with the legendary Ben Edmonds, which is now tragically out of print. But for Kim to write an autobiography, it would have to be an encyclopedia. He's not only Dorian Gray, he's Zelig. His father was Doc Holliday on the Wyatt Earp TV show. So, you know, you start with that. He grows up hanging out with drummer Sandy Nelson, future Beach Boy Bruce Johnston, and Phil Spector. He worked for Alan Freed. He worked for American International Pictures. He worked for Motown. Did a bit with the Air Force National Guard. Produced Alley-Oop, a number one record in 1960. Produced the Mermaids, Popsicles and Icicles that went to number three in 1964. He produced everybody. Slade, Soft Machine, Gene Vincent, Paul V and the Raiders. He organized the all-girl group The Runaways with Joan Jett, Lita Ford, and Jerry Curry. Sang on Help, I'm a Rock on the Mothers of Invention Freak Out album. Announced the Plastic Ono Band in Toronto. Wrote songs for Alice Cooper, Kiss, The Dead Boys, The Birds. Everybody. Go to KimFowley.net if you got a month or two to kill. let's try and do a set that somehow represents a sampling of the man's versatility.
Hit the floor. 'Cause we're all going back.